So Brandon's messages on light the last few weeks have been excellent. Really enjoyed them. But he hasn't preached on surrender for a couple weeks, so I thought I'd better take up the baton and do it this morning. So I'm going to preach on the joy of surrender. I don't believe in the second blessing as it's been taught by many godly men through the history of the church. But as I was thinking of it, I began to wonder if maybe the reason so many godly men have made the mistake that they made on the second blessing is because after faith in Christ, there seems to be no factor that has greater effect on the spiritual growth of a believer than surrender. In fact, so important is surrender that if you looked at nothing but the evidences of the lives around you, you might almost conclude that surrender was more important than faith. But we know that that is false. Because the Muslims preach surrender to Allah, the New Age movement preaches surrender to the universe, and the Jehovah's Witnesses preach surrender to the watchtower. Surrender is only as valuable as who you surrender to. And that brings us back to faith. It's only by faith that we understand who God is, to actually be able to surrender to Him and to His will in a way that honors Him. And that brings us back to Hebrews 11:6, which is going to be my first verse this morning. But as I often do, I want to pray before I get the whole way into this. Father, I just thank you for this morning that we can be here and we can open up your word, and I just pray that you would be with me, especially as I endeavor to preach this subject of the joy of surrender. Help me to do it faithfully and correctly, and Lord, be with all of us, that we would truly open up our hearts to you and let your word speak to us this morning. And Father, that we would be open and moldable and surrendered to your will. Amen. So surrender is only as valuable as who you surrender to. And that brings us back to faith, which brings us to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Even surrender cannot please God unless you first understand who God is and place your faith in Him and His work. To repeat myself, surrender is only as valuable as who you surrender to. But here I want to explain myself, because the world has done studies and found out that forgiveness is good for your health. And in the same way that forgiveness is good for your health, I suppose surrender is probably also good for you, even if you don't have faith in God. But that benefit would be so small and of such little value that I'm not even really going to recognize it today. Because the surrender that Muslims preach, though it might be good for their health, has no eternal value, and it will not change the destiny of their soul. So when I talk about surrender, I'm talking about the act of taking your faith out of yourself, out of your circumstances, out of your own abilities, and placing it in God. That's the essence of surrender. Faith is like the tree of life. Fruit grows on it. But not only does fruit grow on it, but multiple kinds of fruit. And the fruits that grow on the tree of faith are things like repentance, obedience, love, and many more. But one of them, one of the most prominent that grows on the bottom, most accessible branches, is surrender. And if you want scripture to explain the idea of surrender that I'm preaching this morning. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, we read, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." By surrender, I simply mean to accept the fact that you are not your own and quit trying to be your own. God says many unpleasant things about the way the Christian life is. And surrender is simply saying, "Yes, Lord, I accept it." All God promises to you are the things that He sees necessary for His purpose for your life. And surrender is saying, "Yes, Lord." God never promised you health. God never promised you a spouse. God never promised an easy life. And surrender is simply saying, "Okay, Lord, I'll serve you anyway." Some people want to say that surrender is not a biblical doctrine because you don't find the word surrender in the Bible. And though it's true you don't find that word, you do find the concept. Because all surrender is taking the hard sayings of the Bible and replying with, "Yes, Lord." The unsurrender says, "But I want." The surrendered says, "Yes, Lord." I believe the reason why the word surrender is not found in the Bible is because the concept is so rudimentary that it explains itself. It's self-evident that arguing with God is not a very Christian thing to do. But saying, "Yes, Lord," is. It's really what it comes down to. Don't like telling stories about people who aren't here, but I guess I'm going to have to do it this morning. But I would do it if she was anyway, so it's not like I'm doing it behind her back. But to this day, Abby gives me a hard time, because back when she was learning to drive, Pauline and I took her out for a drive, and we both fell asleep. And I guess, to some extent, that illustrates what I want to say. That's surrender. If I was on there pressing the floor like it was a brake pedal, and reaching for the steering wheel, you wouldn't be able to say that I had faith in Abby's driving ability. And if you believe in the goodness of God, you will surrender to His will. I believe that God will work out all things together for my good. Ah, this! Ah, that! No, you don't believe. You don't believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you did, you would surrender to His will. And today, as I talk about the subject of surrender, I'm going to direct it more towards the subject of joy. I'm going to talk about the joy of surrender, because the pursuit of happiness is actually one of the most common things that turn people away from a surrendered life. Yet, by so doing, they are crushing their hope of ever reaching their own goal. There is a proverb that truthfully says, "Happiness is not found by seeking it, but it is stumbled upon on the path of duty." If you set out to pursue happiness, the first thing you're going to do is remove all weeping and sorrow from your life. But that will not work, and it cannot work, because Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Jesus said that they who mourn are happy. So if you set out to pursue happiness and remove all mourning and sorrow from your life, you will never experience the happiness that Jesus promised. And when you're driving down the pathway of life, You will never take the road called mourning in the pursuit of happiness unless by faith you surrender to the God who said to do it. Nor would you dream of calling your temptations joys except by faith. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. As Christians, patience is supposed to be of such a prized value that we even count trials joyous because we know that trials make us more patient. That's an incredible concept that you can only truly be understood by faith. Without faith and surrender, you will take the road called happiness. And that road will tell you to follow your heart, and it will say, when you get what you want, then you will be happy. But you may pursue what you want all of your life and never get it and die an unhappy wreck. Two, you may get what you want, but it will never satisfy. Three, even if you think you are satisfied, you may still die and go to hell. And then what good will your dream do you? By faith, you will surrender. And you will take the road called mourning in the pursuit of happiness. And it will teach you to say with Paul, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul's admonition to Timothy will be a pleasant one. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. The words of Jesus will be sweet to your ear when he said, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? If you set out saying, I will be happy, you will never find it, because the core value of that statement is diametrically opposed to the joy of the Holy Spirit. If you set out saying, I will serve God whether I am happy or not, you will find a great deal of happiness because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. And because Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Because the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And because salvation itself is supposed to fill us with unspeakable joy. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9. These verses are very clear where our source of joy is supposed to come from. But before you will be able to experience this source of joy, you have to forsake all other sources. By that I simply mean surrender your circumstances and surrender to Christ. You say, God, I want to be fulfilled. God, I want to be happy. And then you say, give me this, or give me that. But you ought to say, help me surrender this. Help me surrender that. Teach me contentment. That's the road to happiness and fulfillment. God says, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And you cannot expect God to give you His joy when you're pursuing earthly joy. Take that to the New Testament and read the last verse of the book of 1 John. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Anything you look at and say, this has to change before I can be happy, is an idol. I need a nice house before I can be happy. I need a faster car before I can be happy. I need to be healthy before I can be happy. I need to be married before I can be happy. I need more money so I can buy the things that make me happy. I need to get over my allergies so I can eat tortillas with Timothy and Nikki. Then I'll be happy. That would be me. All these things will hinder you from experiencing the joy of the Holy Ghost that Paul talked of in Romans 14:17, and it'll hinder you from experiencing the unspeakable joy of the knowledge of salvation that Peter talked about in 1 Peter 1:8. There are sinful joys and sinful pleasures now that are diametrically opposed to heavenly joy. But there are also earthly joys that are not at all conflicting with heavenly joy. Even though it might have just sounded like I might have said that. But bear with me until I get through this and explain it. For example, food. I find great joy in eating a delicious meal of wonderful food. And that's an earthly joy. And we know it does not conflict with heavenly joys because God says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." So we know that enjoying food can be done to the glory of God. By these verses we understand that enjoying food is a wholesome thing. Food is an earthly joy that fits beautifully in the believer's life. Yet if I were to set out to pursue happiness through the enjoyment of food, God would send a messenger to preach to me, Philippians 3:19, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Maybe God would send someone to rebuke me for being an evil beast in a pot belly, like Titus was sent to the Cretans in Titus 1:12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith." If I was pursuing happiness through the enjoyment of food, what would I do if I got in an accident and lost my stomach and had to be fed through a tube for the rest of my life? Would I be a miserable wreck? Or would I still find joy in the Holy Ghost by surrendering to the will of God? While pursuing eternal things, and you happen across the earthly joys of food, that joy is a blessing from God meant to cheer your life and your day. But the pursuit of food as your source of joy is completely opposed to the pursuit of heavenly joy. That would make me a glutton. Does everybody understand that distinction? I hope so. If you don't, you can ask. We can talk about it later. A house. Having a house is a very good thing. The Bible tells us to be hospitable, and you can't do that with a house to do it in. But if you set out saying, "I will make myself happy by finding the perfect house," that house is an idol. When Paul was writing to Philemon, he mentions Demas, and he calls him a fellow laborer. Philemon 1:23-25. There salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Then a few years later, Paul writes to Timothy. And he says in 2 Timothy 4:9 through 11, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Demas did not lose his salvation. He left the ministry. God called him to help Paul, and he decided to move to Thessalonica and settle down. I think it's reasonable to assume that he probably got there and got himself a house. And that very thing was contrary to the call of God in his life. You might have set out to find your joy in your house, and God might decide that your house just happens to be where he's planning on making a bolt of lightning hit. And when you're looking at a pile of ashes that you used to call your home, are you still going to be able to find joy in the Holy Ghost? Maybe like Demas, you're called to the ministry and you might never have a house to call your own. Will you still be able to say with Paul, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content"? Or will you decide you're going to move to Thessalonica anyway? I guarantee you, Paul was a happier man than Demas. Because blessed are they who mourn. Happy and joyful are they who follow the call of God wherever he leads them and learn to be content with whatever God gives them. Miserable are they who pursue their own ends at the expense of their soul. A spouse, being married, is spoken of throughout the whole Bible as a blessing from God and a worthy thing to pursue. But when someone sets out pursuing marriage as necessary for their fulfillment and joy, rather than a blessing from God at his discretion, that person has worshipped and served the blessing rather than the blesser. Anything in your life that you say, "This has to change before I can find joy," is an idol. The Christian's joy comes directly from the Holy Spirit. And anything you place before him and say, "No, this has to change first," is an idol. You need to surrender and say with Paul, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." I'm not advocating that you never try to improve your circumstances. But I am saying it needs to be settled in your mind that you are determined to be happy and content with whatever circumstances God gives you. Health. Health is a blessing that brings me joy every day, and I'm very grateful for it. But if I set out to pursue a certain level of health, saying, "When I attain this, then I can be joyful," I could go to the best doctors in the world and get the best advice, and then when I still died, God might say of me what he said of Asa. And Asa, in the 30 and 9th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Then when I got to heaven, Asa would put his arm around me and say, "Why didn't you learn from my mistake?" Health is a blessing of God that becomes a God to those who seek it as their joy, as their source of joy and fulfillment. Health is an earthly joy, and those of us who have it need to bless God for it every day. But the pursuit of earthly joy is opposed to the pursuit of heavenly joy. And I hope I've given you guys this morning enough examples so you can clearly understand that even good things that are blessings from God are idols when they become your source of joy and fulfillment. And as a Christian, such idols, rather than bringing you joy, end up hindering you from having the joy of the Holy Ghost. John wrote, "And these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full." The truths found in the book of 1 John are all you need to find joy. "These things wrote I unto you, that your joy may be full." And if you're looking for more than these things, you're looking in the wrong place. If you think you need anything else, you're confused. If you're pursuing anything else, You're not listening to the last admonition of that very same book. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And as long as you are serving the idol of happiness, you shoot your own foot, because true happiness is found by they who mourn. True happiness is found by they who are content with whatever state they are in. True happiness is found by surrender. I know this message is hard, but I want it this morning to be a message of hope to all of you. It's hard because I just told you that looking at your circumstances for your joy and fulfillment is idolatry. That's a hard statement to hear. It's hope because there is joy in the Holy Ghost. It's hope because the joy of salvation is the only joy that can last for eternity. It's hope because if circumstances are your only hope for joy, many of us would be hopeless. But if God is the source of joy, then it does not matter who you are, you can find it. It's hope, because surrender is not a difficult work, but a simple act of faith. It's hope, because even if you have lost a joy you once had, it can be restored. David writes, Psalm 51:12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David, through grievous sin, had lost the joy of salvation, but he knew the heart of God well enough to know that God could and would restore it. I hope no one goes away this morning discouraged because I called them an idolater or something like that. I hope you take courage because you realize the reason you have not attained joy is not because it's unattainable, but because you're on the wrong path. That should not be bad news. That should be good news. Because then you know what way to turn. In this town, we have two river roads. We have River Road that is north of town, and we have South River Road that's south of town. A few years ago when I was working at Golden Harvest, somebody came into the store and asked me, "Where is the spring? I've driven up and down River Road 3 times, and I can't find it anywhere." I said, "I'm so sorry, it's not River Road, it's South River Road." It's like, where's that? So I gave him directions to South River Road. And this man wasn't upset with me. He wasn't mad at me for telling him he was on the wrong road. He was grateful that he now knew what road to get on. He knew there was a place where he could find clean, pure water, and he wanted it. But he was on the wrong road. And I'm here to tell you today, there is a place where you can find clean, pure, holy joy. And if you're not finding it, it's because you're on the wrong road. The road to this joy is not called happiness. It's called, "Blessed are they who mourn." Don't be mad at me for telling you you're on the wrong road. Be grateful that you now know the spring of joy is found the road, "Blessed are they that mourn." Let's close with prayer. Our Father, I just pray for each person here. Happiness is something that every person pursues in some way or another. Every human being wants to be happy, and they do things that they think will get them there. And Lord, we're so base and we're so foolish and we don't know how to get there. But Lord, we thank you that you've written in your word the directions. You've given us a map and a road we can follow that will lead us there. And I just pray that every person in this room this morning will humble themselves and admit that they're pursuing these things in the wrong way, and will step off of the road that they've been running and follow the words of Christ where he said, "Blessed are they that mourn." Help us, Lord, to surrender to your will. Help us, Lord, just to say, "Yes, Lord," to the circumstances that you give us. And Father, Give us the grace and the mercy to be content. That we'd stop fighting against you and just surrender. Amen.